This program is made possible by the friends and partners of Unspeakable Joy.
The book of Leviticus, chapter number 23 and verse number 33 is where we're going to read this morning. Leviticus 23 and verse number 33. The Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, The 15th day of the 7th month shall be the feast of tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord." We are going to finish up today the seventh message on this thought that I've been giving on the feasts of the Lord. I want to show you the feast of the Lord. You've got to remember, every one of the seven feasts, they all had a threefold message. There was a past message, a present message, and a future message, every one of them. We began back in the first half of the year in the spring harvest. We began with the Feast of Passover. That Feast of Passover gave way the next morning to the Feast of Unleavened Bread. 3 days after the Feast of Passover, the third day after that would have been the Feast of First Fruits. That is it for the summer, the spring months, and then we thrust ourselves into the summer months with one feast, and that was the Feast of Pentecost. And after the Feast of Pentecost, they would go back home, and then they would come back in the fall time, and they would begin with the Feast of Trumpets, the blowing of the trumpets. And after the blowing of the trumpets, they would then have the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement would give way several days later to what we're going to gather into today on the Feast of Tabernacles. Every single one of these, in some way, shape, form, or fashion, like an arrowhead shot from the bow of the archer, was pointing people in a certain direction. And it had to do with the program of God in redeeming humanity. The Feast of Passover was a picture of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Feast of Unleavened Bread, when they would wrap up that afikoman bread and they would bury it away for 3 days, that was a picture of the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ. And 3 days after Passover, the Feast of First Fruits, when they would get that first branch that had come out of the ground and they would wave it before the Lord like the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. 50 days after the first fruits, you had the Feast of Pentecost, which was the giving of the Holy Ghost and the birth of the Church of Christ. We then come to the very next thing. We are right now between Pentecost spiritually and the blowing of trumpets. That is when the rapture of the church comes and we are lifted out of here. But as soon as the trumpet sounds up there, it begins a new age down here. It begins that time of the Day of Atonement of Israel when God is going to redeem them for 7 years during the tribulation. We give way to the very last feast, which is the Feast of Tabernacles, and that is when God ushers in the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ on a physical throne in Jerusalem, in a physical temple in Jerusalem, and a physical man will reign upon the physical place and the physical mountain of the physical man, David, the prince of all princes, reigning will be the king of all kings, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we come to this last little Feast of Tabernacles and we get to this thing and there are some facts that you need to understand. And if you've got a pen, write these in your Bible. It'll help you to understand the Feast of Tabernacles. The first thing about tabernacles you need to understand, the Feast of Tabernacles, is this holiday, this 7-day period, it revolved around the building of a sukkah. A sukkah, that is the Hebrew word for booth, tabernacle. You and I would call it a shanty, is what we would call it. How many of you have ever heard somebody say they live in a shanty? And what they mean by that is it's basically got two sides. Come on, people, don't kill me on Sunday morning. It's got two sides and a roof. That's exactly right. So they live in a shanty, and that's what it was around, that sukkah, that word. Don't get lost in that word. It goes back to the city of Sukkoth, which was the first city that Israel came out of when they left Egypt. And that was the first place that they would build those shanties, because they realized, though we are not there anymore, we are not quite there anymore. We are not where we used to be, but we sure enough ain't where we're going to be. So they would build a sukkah, a temporary tabernacle. The second fact about the Feast of Tabernacles is it was the last required pilgrimage for every Jewish male. When a Jewish male had a bar mitzvah at the age of 12 years old, he was required to begin making the 3 ceremonial journeys to Jerusalem every year. That began with the Feast of Passover. It then was the Feast of Pentecost, and then it was the Feast of Tabernacles. And what this was, it was a mandatory government-issued vacation for everybody in the entire nation of Jerusalem, or in the nation of Israel. And they would go back, and they would stay, and then they would go back, and stay, and go back, and stay, and go back, 3 different times. The third thing that is neat to know about this little celebration of Tabernacles is that it was the original Thanksgiving. Now, I know we all think that Thanksgiving began fundamentally with Abraham Lincoln, who got it from George Washington, but they all went way back yonder. And it went back before Plymouth, it went back before Jamestown, it goes all the way back to Israel in the Bible days. And here's what they would do at the end of the year. You see, that Feast of Tabernacles, it fell at the end of October, the beginning of November, and that was the time when everybody would come together and they would praise the Lord for the year that was and ask the Lord's blessing on the year that was to come. And when they would do that, it was saying, God, we dedicate what was to you, and we ask what is to come to be in your hands as well. Ladies and gentlemen, that is exactly what we do when we sit down on this one time of year as a church family and then as a nation. We ask God's blessing upon the year to come, and we thank Him for the blessings that were yonder in this past year. And every year, you and I have something to be thankful for. I don't care how bad, how glad, how mad, or how sad it was. Every single one of us got more than we deserved when we woke up this morning and breathed God's air, oxygen, and CO2 out of God's atmosphere. I don't know about you, but I'm as sorry as they come. And I do believe the reason you all like me so much is because you're sorry too. Not one of us deserve to be alive. Every single one of us ought to be in hell, back broke, frying like a piece of bacon. But today we are blessed, we are favored by God, and the Lord has been good to us. And so we chalk off one day a year as a church family and come together and say, God, we want to thank you for what was, and we want to praise you for what will be. Now, in verse number 41 of this chapter, take your Bible and look at verse number 41, because there's a phrase that only occurs one other time, and watch what it says. It's at the end of verse 41. Watch what it says. It says, it shall be a statute for you for how long? Ever. Now, I'm not the smartest cookie in the jar, but how long is forever? That's exactly right. For all the ages, as long as we are, this will be observed. Now, ladies and gentlemen, here's what you've got to understand. There are 2 feasts that will be rehearsed in God's eyes forever and ever. You see, one day when you and I are in heaven, we will celebrate this feast. When we get to heaven, every single one of us, we will build these sukkahs, these tabernacles, and we will dwell within them. Why? Because it was a picture. What Israel was saying when they celebrated the Feast of Tabernacles is they're saying, God, we want to thank you for keeping us safe during the 40 years of sojourning when we were in the wilderness. We want to thank you for protecting us, and we want to thank you for keeping us. One day when we're all in heaven and we're building these tabernacles for this 7-day feast, as we will recognize it, what will we be thanking the Lord for? The same thing that they thank the Lord for. We'll say, God, we want to thank you for protecting us during our sojourn in this this life and for keeping us safe from all of the snares and all of the pains and all of the problems that ever would be. Ladies and gentlemen, this morning I give to you something and I pray God be my helper. I'll do my best to get it out, but there's about two of these points that are about as juicy as a turkey leg when it's been basting all night. And I don't know that I'm necessarily going to get through these two, but if I can get through one, maybe I can get through two. But God knows if I can get to number two, oh, woe be unto the crowd that hears when I get to point number two. There are four aspects of the Feast of Tabernacles. There were four different things that occurred every single year in the Feast of Tabernacles. Are you ready? If you're ready, say amen. Here's what the first one was. The first aspect of the Feast of Tabernacles, it was the dwelling in booths or the building of tabernacles. When the 7-day journey would come to an end, they would begin the 7-day Feast of Tabernacles. And this is what they would do, fellas. They would go and they would build a shanty. This shanty had walls that were solid all the way around it. It could be made out of pine, it could be made out of oak, but it had to be made out of something that was earthy, something that was temporal. It could be made out of a sawn up piece of log, and they would build a shack all the way around them. But there was one requirement when they built that tabernacle. It had to do with the roof. It had to do with the top of that tabernacle or that sukkah. And what they would have to do is they had to make something to cover that roof that was porous. It could not completely cover the roof. Here's why. Whether it was branches that were woven together, whether it was a burlap type material, whether it was a porous linen material, the reason that it could not be solid on the top is because God told them, I do not want you to be able to see out the sides, but every night when the stars are shining in the sky, I want you to be able to lay on your back and not pay any attention to the world around you, but I want you to be able to look out through the heavens and know that I am He that is your keeper. And for 7 days and seven nights, they would dwell in that tabernacle that they had built. And when they could not see the world around them, they could lift up their eyes unto the hills whence cometh their help. And they could say, God, we know that you are our protector. We know that you are our keeper. And we know that you are our guide. For 40 years, 40 long disobedient years in the wilderness, they whined and they moaned and they complained and they grumbled and they griped and they moped and they poked and they acted like half of your relatives on Thanksgiving Day. It wasn't good enough. Food wasn't hot enough. Sun was too bright. Clouds were too cloudy. Rain was too wet. Fire was too hot. Nothing was right. Nothing was good. But for 40 years, God would protect them. No matter their complaining, God would keep them safe. Aren't you glad? I get so tired and sick and tired of old Tyler Curtis saying, God, I don't deserve what's happening to me. I don't deserve to be going through this. And every now and again, God will open up my spiritual eyeballs and say, son, you're exactly right. You don't deserve what's happening to you. You deserve far worse than what's happening to you. No matter my complaining and my whining and my moaning, do you know what God's done for me? He has protected me and He has kept me and He has shielded me and He has kept me in His fold. Now watch this. How long did that sukkah stay on the earth? It was for 7 days. It was temporary, because you know why? They weren't going to dwell there forever. They weren't going to be living there forever. They weren't going to be in that shanty forever. They weren't going to be dwelling on that dirt forever. They had another country on the other side of the river where the milk and honey flowed and the grapes were as big as bowling balls and the cows laid over and made pork chops and applesauce toss and any other thing they wanted to eat. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, they said, we're not going to be here forever. I think I can go another mile. Ladies and gentlemen, I remind you this morning, this life that we live, this is not all there is to it. You can lay up your best treasures now, but we're going to a city, honey, that's going to far outlive and outshine and outweigh this. That's why we lay up on the other side. That's why we lay up on the other side. That's why we lay up on the other side. Because soon, this old tabernacle of clay and this field of nothing, it's going to go by the wayside. And we're going to rise with immortal bodies in lands that will not go away, and we'll dwell forever in God's eternal kingdom. You say, preacher, how do I make it in this life? How can I survive? How do I get over this discouragement? How do I get over this depression? How do I get over this anxiety? How do I get over these pains? How do I get over this problem? You hadn't realized how to build your tabernacle yet. We've got to realize there's a specific way to build this spiritual tabernacle that we're living in. You know what you've got to do? You've got to put the boards that give you view of the earth around you. You've got to put them so close together that what's on the outside is not visible to you on the inside, and you've got to let that thing on top be what's porous. You say, but I've got to protect myself. I've got to keep myself safe. Can I ask you a question? How's that going for you? How's it going for you? Doing it your own way, living your own way, going at your own pace, building your own thing, being your own friend, being your own boss, being your own guide, being your own shelter. That's going real well for you. We're sucking down Xanax and drinking liquor as fast as we can do it, and we still can't get over the pain. Do you know why? Put those boards and keep the things around you on this earth. Get them out of your sight. Who cares how much money you make? You're going to make more money. You're going to pay it to the tax man, or you're going to give it away. You say, I need a bigger house. You're going to have bigger mess. You say, I want bigger lots. Then you got more grass to mow. You say, I'll pay somebody to mow it. They don't mow it for free, honey. It will cost you to have more. You've got to shut out the things of this world. You say, but I want a nicer car. You know, I've ridden in nice cars. I've ridden in Pintos. And you know what both of them do? They both get you from point A to point B. I want two things in my life. Here's what I want. I want an air conditioner that works and a car that don't break down. Anything else in between that, brothers and sisters, I think I'll be okay. You say, I want a Rolls Royce. You got to pay for that Rolls Royce. You got to pay the taxes on that Rolls Royce. And guess what? The moment you drive that bad boy off the lot, it just lost $545,000. You say, I want more. You're living for this world, and you'll constantly be looking out the cracks of the sideboards saying, what do they have? What do they want? What do they desire? What do they want me to have? No. You need to sew that up. Don't worry about what the couple down the road has. Don't worry about what your mom and daddy had. Don't you worry about the people down the street. They're not happy either. So stop trying to get your meter to go up so that your meter will match what you think their meter is. They fuss and fight. They yell at each other. You need to open up the ceiling so the only view you have is the God of glory and what His holy word says. Build your family by the word. Build your marriage by the word. Build your kids by the word. Shut the world out. Well, I want Junior to be an all-star. Junior is going to have diabetes when he's 45. He ain't making it to the pros, and he ain't going to keep you up. You need to live in reality and realize that this life is all temporal, and Christ is the only thing worth building your life on. Ladies and gentlemen, that was a reminder to them. Dwell in temporary dwellings. Brothers and sisters, this whole flesh is dying. Now, I think you ought to take care of it, but it's dying. And before you know it, it will be time to dismantle the tabernacle and move on to the other side. So why in the world would you live for this life when what's on the other side is what really matters? Here's the second part. Let's skip ahead. Let me go to number three, and so I'll come back to number two. Here's number two. There was a second aspect of this tabernacle feast. It was the water drawing ceremony. They called it the water libation. Are you impressed? Thank you. Thank you, Doug. The water libation, this is what they would do. Every day for 7 days, a priest would go out the gate of the temple, would walk down the southern stairs, would make his way down to the pool of Siloam with a silver charger. He would go down to the pool of Siloam. The pool of Siloam was nothing more than just a holding tank for the Gihon spring that had been diverted. He would go down to that watering hole and he would get a pitcher of water. There would be this grand ceremony and he would take it back up to the temple. And there at the temple was the fiery altar of sacrifice. He would take that water and he would splash it on the side of the altar. Now here is what they thought God wanted them to do that for. They thought the reason they did that was them asking God for rain for the coming seasons of growing. But God had a bigger picture in mind. You see, it was into that scene. Do you remember in John chapter number 2? Do you remember the Lord Jesus goes down to the pool of Siloam? And at the pool of Siloam, there is a blind man. And that blind man is by the pool. And this is what Jesus said. He scoops down into the dirt and he takes the clay out of the dirt. Jesus spits into the dirt, makes himself a putty, and wipes it on the eyes of that man. He said, now go do me a favor. Go wash in the pool of Siloam. And that blind man is led down to the pool of Siloam. That's a picture of the Holy Ghost when he brought you to salvation. Your eyes were covered and you did not know how to get to Christ. But thank God somebody led you. God sent somebody your way that would lead you to the pool where you could be washed. Now here's what happened. That blind man goes down in John chapter number 7. And when he kneels down in that water, do you know what's happening on the other side? The water libation ceremony. That priest is reaching into the water and he's getting ready to go up. But as he is dipping down in that water, that blind man goes down and he dips in the pool of Siloam, and he that was blind was now made whole. He which could not see was now able to see. You see, the Feast of Tabernacles is a picture of what happens in this old clay body. It is a picture of what happens in the spiritual man inside of you. When you meet Christ and Christ meets you, you are blind. You have no ability to save yourself. You can't be good enough. I can't be good enough. You can't be great enough. I can't be great enough. You can't be rich enough. I can't be poor enough. You can't be high enough. We can't be low enough. It takes somebody that will take us by the spiritual hand, and we call him the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost will lead you down to the water of life. And down at the water of life, you'll find that there is salvation. That's what Isaiah was talking about in Isaiah chapter number 12 when he says, with joy they shall draw out of the wells of salvation. That is what Brother Isaiah is talking about. He said, just as that water is drawn out in that tabernacle, it is what Christ does for you and I when he saves our soul. Now that one wasn't as good as the fourth one. Now I'm going to skip and put number 4 at number 3, and I'm going to make number 3 number 4, because if I can make number 3 number 4, then I can get to number 4 and I'll be number 3 and I'll get to there. But we'll go with number 3 right quickly. There was a third ceremony which took place during the Feast of Tabernacles. Oh God, I got time. Number 3, here is what they would do. They called it the candles in the temple, or the illumination of the temple. There was a fourth ceremony, a third ceremony that took place every single night. Oh God, every single night they would do something. Now I've got a picture that I want to show you. Kim, do you have that picture of the temple that Heather got? This is a picture of the temple. Now if you can see that, do you see the four large poles that are sticking up? If you see it, shake your head. All right? Those are called those are the four large candelabrums. Candles is what we would call them. Those would be set up during the Feast of Tabernacles, and they would be set up and made to burn specifically. Here's how they'd burn. What they would do is they would fill them full with oil, and they would take last year's linen ephods that the priests wore, and they would wad them up, and they would stick them in the top of it. Now remember that. They'd take yesterday's worn out priestly garments and dip them in that oil and light them on fire. And here's why they would do it. They would say, during the Feast of the Tabernacles, we want to remind the world that Jerusalem is the light of the world. John chapter 8. The Lord Jesus leaves Jerusalem and he goes out across to the Mount of Olives. And he makes the greatest statement in John chapter number 8 and verse number 12. He is looking out across the tabernacle or the temple. And what's he looking at? Those four large candles. And he says, men, I am the light of the world. It is a picture of what Jesus is going to be throughout the ages of eternity. The Bible says that people will come from north and south and east and west, and they'll be drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they will come to worship him. Time out. Let me tell you, in Jerusalem right now, they are building highway on top of highway on top of highway. And I asked my guide one time, I said, Eshkar, why are they building so many highways? He said, oh, Pastor, that's easy. He said, the reason we're building so many highways is because our prophets tell us that when Messiah returns, the entire world will want to come see him. And so we are making the way so that Messiah, when he comes, that they will have a way to get in. I said, well, why don't you just let them build those highways when Messiah gets here? He says, oh no, he is so close to coming. We can sense it in the air. And our sages and our rabbis tell us that it could be at any moment that our Messiah comes back. Ladies and gentlemen, here's what Jesus is reminding us, that when he stands up, he is the light of the world. Church Street's not the light of the world. Tyler's not the light of the world. You say, what are we going to do if you die tonight? Number one, do an autopsy. Number two, I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to be reminded that Tyler's not the head of this church. Tyler's not the builder of this church. You get on your face before God and say, God, send us a man that can burn the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. You go on, because this is not about me. It's about Tyler. Or not about Tyler. It's about Christ. It's about Jesus. It's not about me. Now I got all that. Let me get to point four. Oh my. There was a fourth aspect. Fourth aspect of this tabernacle ceremony. It's called the waving ceremony. Now, I want you to go back in your Bible once you get that written down, and I want you to look in verse number 40. Here's what he said in verse number 40. Verse 40, Moses told the people, he said, this is what I want you to do. He said, I want you to take on the first day boughs or boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, boughs of fig trees, and willows of the brook. He said, I want you to take those and I want you to gather them together and I want you to rejoice before the Lord. Lord, that's an odd conglomeration of branches, don't you think? Lord, you're telling me I got to have these four styles of branches. I got to have boughs of good trees. I got to have branches of goodly trees or thick trees. I got to have palm trees and I got to have willows. Lord, why? Well, before we do that, what they would do is they would take sprigs from each one of those. They'd put them together. And I found this in a Jewish rabbi said this in one of the books I was reading about this. And this is what he said. He said they would point the branches in six directions. They would have one branch, one part pointing north, one pointing south, one pointing east, one pointing west, one pointing toward the earth, and one pointing toward the sky. And here's what it was a picture of. It was a picture of the omnipresence of God. Whether I go north, whether I go south, whether I go east or whether I go west, whether I go to heaven or whether I stay on the earth, God is already there. Now, what in God's name do these branches mean? These branches, brothers and sisters, are the story of your life. Now remember, when will we celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles? We'll celebrate it all throughout eternity, one time a year, will we not? So what are we going to wave before? You're telling me you and me are going to cut down trees in the eternity? I thought there'd be no more death. These trees are a picture of your life. Let me give them to you right quick. Number one, let's look at the boughs of goodly trees. Those are a picture of the blessings of God. Those were fruit trees. Those were citrus trees. Those were lemon trees. Those were orange trees. Those were cherry trees. Any tree that bore a sweet or citrus fruit, they could take the branch off of that. You see, that is a picture of the blessing of God in our life. That's a picture of the things that God gives to us in our life. That's a picture of our family. That's a picture of our children. That's a picture of our spouse. That's a picture of our health. That's a picture of our job. That's what we'll wave before God. Ladies and gentlemen, for all of eternity, every day I live, every time I wake up, every time I go to sleep, every time the sun comes up, every time the sun goes down, whether it be in eternity, whether it be, I don't know, but I will be reminded, God, you were so good to me. You blessed me. You gave to me the things you took from me. Though I did not understand it, you were still good to me. And for all eternity, our life will be waved before God, whether we have it on the north, whether we have it on the south, whether we have it on the east, whether we have it on the west, whether it's up in the heavens or it's down on the earth. God has been good to every single one of us. And so what we'll wave before God is the blessings that He's given us. But there was a second branch. And the second branch that came about was the branch of Paul. Every time in the Bible you read about palm branches, it's always a symbol of victory. Whenever a conqueror would come in riding into town on his horse, what kind of branches would they wave? Palm branches. If you go to Rome and you see the Arch of Titus, on there they'll be waving palm branches. It's a picture of victory. Brothers and sisters, can I stop time, say something? Anything that has ever happened to me where God has gotten the glory or where the devil has been defeated, it was all because God gave the victory. There is not one single one of us that has ever earned anything. Not one single one of us has ever beaten cancer. Not one single one of us has ever gotten over a heart attack. That's all been the victory of God Almighty. If you've been healed through chemotherapy or if you were healed supernaturally, that was God that gave that victory, and it's God that can take that away. Whether you beat a heart attack, that was God that gave that victory. Whether you beat alcohol, that was God that gave that victory. Whether you were able to conquer that divorce that almost took you down, that was God that gave that victory. Whether it was a sickness that almost put you under and now you're good, that was God that gave that victory. Whether it was somebody that was trying to hurt you and God sent His holy angels to protect you, that was God that gave that victory. And here's what I think during eternity. Now remember this. How long will we celebrate this? Forever and forever. Now here is my question. I'm not like anybody else. I'm not like other people. My mind doesn't work like other people. And here's what I'm thinking. All right. Now we're going to celebrate this thing forever and ever and ever and ever. And I can't use the palm branch I used last year, right? I mean, I'm just sitting here thinking out loud, right? Dwayne, you can't use what you used last year. I mean, you don't bring the pie you brought last year to Thanksgiving this year. You may do a new pie, but it ain't the same. It better not be the same one. If you come into mine and you bring that, we're going to have a problem. So here's what I believe. What I believe every single time we go to celebrate this, God will open up our mind in heaven to another area that He protected us and gave us the victory over something. How many times has there been something that just came about? How many times in our life has a door just opened up? How many times in our life has something good just come out of nowhere and we thought it was going to be terrible? We thought it was going to be awful. I can't believe. You mean I got to handle. And the door just opened up and we just thought, man, I like the way that worked out. That went well for me. That was a blessing to me. I'm glad that. No. You know where that came from? That was God moving stuff out of the way. That was God kicking the devil out of the way and pushing this out of the way. There's some of you that have opened up businesses and the bank said, I'm not giving you a loan. There's no way you'll ever have a building. There's no way you'll ever be successful. And the Lord has blessed you and the Lord has given to you. And it's all because God opened the door. God gave you the victory and God brought it to pass. And you know what you're going to do for all eternity? You're going to take another sprig out of that tree. You're going to take another palm branch out of that victory and say, God, during this festival of Tabernacles, I just want to thank you again for the victory you gave me. I want to thank you for getting my husband out of that mess. I want to thank you for getting my wife out of that mess. I want to thank you for getting my baby out of that mess. I wish there'd be some mamas that would realize how close their babies were to burning in hell. But God came by, swept him up in his grace, pulled him up in his mercy, and gave him the victory. Brothers and sisters, I do believe with every fiber of my being, all you uptight, good for everything Baptist that don't shed a tear and don't get happy in the Holy Ghost, you're going to turn some Pentecostal in heaven. We'll think that you speaking in tongues was brought down on the earth. You're going to shout so loud, you'll wake up the angels. You're going to scream so loud and cry so hard, they'll think it's another river flowing out of the center of the city. Because when God opens up our old cold hearts and rolls back our old cold eyes and we see that it was God that gave us the victory, we won't be able to contain it. Number three, he said, I want you to bring boughs or boughs of thick trees. Those are myrtle trees. If you've ever seen a myrtle tree is one and it has a canopy over it. And what people would do is they would go up under a myrtle tree and they would get shelter and protection. I remind you, my beloved, we are what we are by the grace of our God. Everything I am is by God's grace. Now I want you to look at the fourth little part of this, because this is the one that nobody wants to wave before the Lord. Notice the fourth one. He said, you're going to go get willows of the brook. Willow trees in the Bible are always a picture of sorrow and pain. Willow trees only grow down in valleys where water is. And willow trees, they even look sad. Have you ever seen a willow tree? They look depressed. They look weary and tired. He said, now in heaven, you're going to praise me for the good things. You're going to praise me for the blessings. You're going to praise me for the protection. But before you go, you're going to go down there to the river of sorrow. And that place of pain. And you're going to pluck off one of those branches. And you're going to stick it down in that wave. And you're going to come. And you're going to wave that before me. You realize you are what you are because of where you've been broken in your life. Help me out, Scott. Listen. Here's what the devil wants every one of us to do. You know those little... Now stay with me, though. Stay with me. You know those rivers of sorrow that course through our soul? You know what we try to do? Can't let that one be seen. Nobody can see how bad that hurt me. It was a daddy that left this earth way too soon. I'm fine. I'm okay. Just let's not talk about it. I'm good. It was a husband or a wife that said, I'm sorry, you're not enough for me. Just let's get over it. Let's get past it. I'm done. I'm through. It's good. It's fine. It's a child that said, I'm done with you and I'm done with your ways. But the Holy Spirit of God's trying to remind you that that river of sorrow that courses within you is God trying to make you into what He wants you to be. And here's what you're going to do one day. You're going to get to heaven one day, and during this Feast of Tabernacles, you're going to do your best to cover it up. There's no more tears in heaven, no more sorrow. God said there'll be nothing to be sorry about up here. But He's going to peel away the layers of pain. And you know what God's going to do? For the first time in your existence, you're going to see that God truly turned for good what the devil coursed out for evil. And God's going to take that sprig and He's going to say, "Now wave it before Me." You see, some of you battle depression and discouragement. It wakes up inside of you like a cloud. And you say, "God, if I could just get victory." And what the Holy Spirit of God's trying to do in you right now is say, "Now just stop. Give that to Me. Take your hands off. Just let Me peel it back." And every time we get into a service like this, and God starts to mold and mesh and work on your heart, you want to do everything you can to cover it back up. Don't just let God roll the layers back off your heart. Because whether He does it or not, it's still there. You covering it up isn't taking it away. And here's what God will do. God will show you, "This is what I'm using to make you." And so today, what He desires is to get down inside of that and take just a branch. Now, you ain't got to wave the whole thing before people. That's foolishness. Rip the whole tree up and say, "Let me tell you all my junk." That's foolishness. No, that's foolishness. Nobody rejoices in bad. We rejoice when there's bad, not because there's bad. It's a big difference. And God wants you just to say, "Lord, this is what I am. This is what You've made me to be. And I want to thank You for Your touch in my life." Look, the Feast of Tabernacles is only 7 days. And guess what they did with those branches? Threw them away. Listen, one day the sorrows and pains down here, they will be but a memory in your soul. There'll be no pain associated. They'll be gone. Like a vapor in the wind, there'll be a memory, not an actuality. This morning, the Holy Spirit of God, just let Him start unfurling it. How do you do that, preacher? That's easy. Actually letting Him do it's hard, but how to get there is easy, where you say, "Lord, I'm hurt. I don't know what to do about it, but I need Your help." That's it. And God takes it from there. God takes it from there. And when the Feast of Tabernacles was over, men, the year was done. It was over. And one day, this life will be gone. We'll be on the other side of the river. The shanty we lived in down here, this old tabernacle, gone. Gone. Pain gone. Heartache gone. And you'll finally realize this lesson. "Lord, it really was going to be okay.